What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 8 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. And hey, happy birthday to us. Welcome to Wayne's World. So, yeah, happy birthday. What are you talking about? We've been doing the podcast for a couple weeks now, several weeks. And no, I'm talking about Tucson Pinball itself. We've been at the rink for, well, this is our anniversary week. Because I don't know exactly when we, can't remember when we put our first games in there. I could probably go find out, but you know, let's just get it close enough and say anniversary week, because I'm not really too concerned about the day. So when we started there, we had four machines total and kind of a shared area in the bar space. And, you know, seeing how well things were going, we were able to open up to eight. They actually just moved some of those little 50 cents, you know, you drop them in, you turn the thing, and you either get candy or one of those hollow things with a toy inside. And I swear, some nights when there's games going on and the kids are, like the little kids, are just given 50 cents at a time and so that the parents can watch a game and, you know, do whatever in a little bit of calm, I guess. You know, the kids just go over there and they dump money in those things. And I'm like, man, like that's a lot more than the pins you're making tonight, you know, type of thing. It's just really funny. But, so those sat there empty for several weeks, and they finally just filled those up. So that was kind of interesting. I don't know. And I was talking to some of the folks at the rink, and they're like, yeah, we've called and said, hey, by the way, your stuff's empty. And they're just like, you know, kind of just like, yeah, whatever about it. So I don't know, that's just really weird, and we try to not be like that at all. I mean, there's only a few people that'll be like, hey, you know, this is not working, or, you know, whatever on the pins, and when that happens, I try to get there as soon as I possibly can. You know, I'm not leaving work to go do it, but at the same time, I'm not going to let it sit for 2 weeks if I can avoid it. I had one instance where I tried ordering a part, and it was kind of a hard-to-find part, and the order didn't ship is very fast at all. So that's kind of the one time things slipped. Outside of that, I mean, I can get there within a day or two fairly simply. So anyways, that's not really something I meant to kind of go off onto a tangent about. So we went from four games, we're up to eight now. And, oh yeah, those little red kitty things, that's where I was going with this. Those little red, you know, whatevers, those have moved into a different area. So that allowed the crane game that we do not own. It's for stuffed animal crane stuff. And that actually moved out of the corner it was in and a little further off the wall. So there's actually room for a ninth pin there. I was talking to somebody at the rink, and they said that they want to move that into this upper area where the rest of the red vending things went. And if that actually happens, we do have room for a ninth machine. So not quite sure how that's going to get handled or what's going to end up there. But, you know, that would be really nice to have nine machines there, because, like, we tend to do, like, eight game. For example, when we do league there, we do eight machines, and that's how league has always been. Whether we're at the rink or at D&D, we do eight machines. D&D's got, like, 30 games, and I have a spreadsheet that picks eight machines at random, and that's what we play. And Every now and then at the rink, like, something will be acting up, and it's just like, please make it through league, and then you can break, you know, because that gives me a while to kind of absorb everything and sit there and go, okay, I can fix this now. But when league's going on, like, there's plenty of people there, and it's just like, I don't have the time to fix it. I'm putting scores in. I mean, I'm trying not to hold up the show and trying to get through my games as well, so you know, having a ninth game there means we could have something in reserve, and that would alleviate a lot of, it's not really stress. I mean, come on, this is pinball, and nobody really cares if a game goes down. I just say, you know, sorry guys, this happened. I can't fix it because it's, you know, not a 2-minute fix type thing. So we're going to have to nix this game, and we'll just count seven games today. So, you know, we've had to do that in the past. It's not the end of the world. So, but having a ninth game there, keeping everything up and running, would mean that, you know, we do have that backup, which would be really nice. And, you know, it's not like having nine games there would bring in more customers from outside because it's not really much of a foot traffic location. It's definitely a destination for people that do play soccer and hockey there, and we're trying to expand upon that, which I actually have some information on that we'll talk about here in just a minute or two. But yeah, so anyways, nine pins would be better than eight, just because if something breaks during an event, you still have eight machines to pull from. Let's see. Short term, I've got just some pointers. I don't even have really notes. I've got like, hey, talk about this, but there's no content in my notes. So short term, the beginning of November, the first weekend in November, is the Tucson Comic-Con, which is actually a pretty big ordeal. It's at the Tucson Convention Center, which is really funny because both the location and the event, the acronym is TCC. So you kind of have to differentiate, you have to make sure people understand what you're talking about when you're talking about certain things. So, because, we're a hockey family, and so when we talk about going to hockey games, those all happen at the TCC, which does not mean Tucson Comic-Con. So it's just kind of funny. It's like, really, what are the odds that those two things would coincide like that? And the event is at the location, and they both have the same shortened names. So, anyways, that's kind of funny. So, Tucson Comic-Con is coming up, and I'm really happy that we'll be at D&D for League that first weekend in November, because that means that Tucson Pinball can be at Tucson Comic-Con. So, we have a booth, and we're going to bring three games. And we're pretty excited about that. It's going to be a lot of foot traffic. I think the last couple of years they said that they have had 12,000 to 15,000 people go through the doors, which in a metro area of about 1 million people, that's actually a pretty good number, So we're excited about that. The banner just came in yesterday, and we're going to have that up above at our booth to give the information, so that people can find more information about us. And we're gonna have Ghostbusters and Super Mario Brothers, and probably the Star Trek 25th anniversary, so the Data East one. And I think that's gonna, if you want to talk about percentage of fan bases that get covered at Tucson Comic-Con, I think we're gonna get a lot of that percentage covered with those three titles. So, Ghostbusters is definitely the loudest of the three, so we're going to crank that up a little bit and try to attract a little attention with some interesting music and noise coming out of that machine. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. What I'm not really excited about is because we have a vendor booth, one of the rules that they have is it's got to be manned at all times. And it's just like, ugh, there's two of us. So we might be solo for many hours and then double up during some of those hours, and then it's like we'll be doing it in shifts, because Friday's not too bad. I think it's from 4 to 8, and then Saturday is the long day, and then Sunday is like 9 to 5 or 10 to 5 or something like that. So Sunday's not too bad, but Saturday is like 12 hours or 13 hours. That's gonna be a long day. So, but anyways, we are super pumped because we're hoping to get in front of some new faces and introduce more people to pinball, which is kind of the goal, and that's awesome. So we're looking forward to that. So longer term stuff, obviously introducing more people to pinball and getting more people to the rink is important, but we're also trying to find good locations for like onesie-twosies of machines. So we got contacted a little bit ago about putting two-ish machines at an RV park, actually. And Tucson and up in Phoenix, Mesa, there's quite a bit of like an RV, not society or culture, but like there's a lot of RVs in Arizona because there's a lot of retirees in Arizona. So there's several RV dealers and parks and stuff like that. So it's not like it's, the middle of nowhere type of thing and whatever. But so we got contacted by a place called Lazy Days And they are part of like a KOA, but they're a campground, and they're also a repair shop and a dealer, and like they run the full spectrum of RV stuff. So they have a clubhouse type of thing where they've got a game room in one area and like a convenience store type, where you can go buy Gatorades and snacks and stuff like that in case you're just passing through. But they also have a cantina area, so kind of like a bar dealio. And so yeah, they contacted us and they gave us kind of a vintage of what they were looking for. And I don't have any machines like that that are available to get placed on location, but Robert does. And so we went over there and chatted a few times. And yeah, so we put one machine there so far. The other one, we get there and it's kind of doing funny stuff, and we're just like, I'm not really comfortable leaving this here, and first impressions and all. So we were only able to start with one machine, and but that's going to be remedied here very soon. So if you're coming through Tucson in your RV and stop at Tisk first, and then go ahead and stop at the Lazy Days KOA. It's south of I-10, off of Country Club. And I'm gonna have the information updated on the website here pretty soon. But yeah, we have a second location, so that's one of our future plans, is to try to expand a little bit there. So let's see, and we're also, this is kind of gonna meld into another topic, but the Pinball Expo in Chicago is starting next Thursday, Wednesday night, Thursday, something like that. I know there's a lot of stuff going on Thursday, but I don't think there's anything on Wednesday. Not that I can remember right now. But if you're not familiar with the Chicago Expo, it's been going on for many years, and it is one of now, but it used to be the like event of the year where manufacturers would go and show off games, and you'd have distributors and route owners and hobbyists. It's just a giant collective of enthusiasts for this hobby, and it sort of struggled in like 1999. George Gomez was one of the speakers, and it's on YouTube, and it's almost depressing because he's talking about how he doesn't know, how strong the industry is and stuff like that. And he didn't say it, and I don't even know if he knew it, but like the next day Williams announced that they were shutting their doors for the pinball division. And it's just like, he either knew or he had a very good crystal ball, but he didn't come out and say it, flat out, "Hey, we're closing tomorrow." But I mean, it's a very gloomy presentation that he puts on, and it's true, but you can tell that he's very invested emotionally in the hobby. And so anyways, but that did happen in the expo in 99, and since then we've had a nice resurgence. So this year at expo you almost can't keep track of how much buzz is going on, because I think there's five machines that are going to be shown for the first time, or kind of reveal type of thing. So there's Jersey Jack number 3, and that's the Pat Lawler game, and we kind of know what the theme is, sort of, but it's something to do with Dialed In. Like, there's a trademark that they own about Dialed In. So people are like, "Well, is it going to be a phone theme? Is it going to be like interacting with your phone?" And but a lot of people are also saying, "Well, Pat Lawler is like the natural disaster guy, like Earthshaker and Whirlwind." It's just like those are kind of some of his trademark games. I mean, he's also got, these little games called Addams Family and Twilight Zone, but it's like people are like, "Well, it's an unlicensed theme and it's Pat Lawler and it's a standard body." Those are like the only three things we know for sure about the game. And it's been talked about by everybody but Jersey Jack Pinball for like 2 years or something like that. It's just, and everybody's been waiting and waiting, and it is finally time for this thing to be shown. So that's super exciting. Alien is going to be shown and released at Expo. There's been a lot of hype about that because of the platform and the theme and the delays. You know, when you have issues, things get talked about. So, yeah, that's, and I'm excited to see that. Spooky has already shown Dominoes, but that was like a pre-production slash prototype thing, and from the gameplay and exposure that has gone on with that prototype, they've made some tweaks and changes, both physically and on the software side, and they're going to be there. I emailed back and forth with Charlie a little bit, and he said that they are going to be there, and they're going to have the improved version of Domino's, so that's exciting. And well, then there's the whole Magic Girl Houdini thing by American Pinball, and if you want nothing but drama, research that a little bit. I don't even want to go into it. If they showed Houdini at a like a gaming expo, like adult gaming, not like video game console type thing, but like gambling type gaming expo. And or it's kind of like a tech. It's also kind of like a tech thing. But anyways, that was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and it didn't flip. It was just on and had power and attract mode and type things. And you know, nobody really knows if there was even balls in the trough, but it was there. And they say they're gonna show it, and they also say they're gonna be bringing some Magic Girls for people that are owed those. So yeah, so that's. Like I said, I don't really want to get into that because I'm not affected by the original thing, and I'm not really a prospective buyer. I don't know. They seem fairly ambitious for a new company, which that's not to say it's a bad thing, but oh, I don't know. That's almost just an untouchable aspect, you know, to go into. So, anyways, and there's more stuff and. You know, there's it's gonna be crazy. There's you know, so keep track of your favorite pinball news outlet because things are gonna blow up next week and it's exciting. So, and I'm hoping that we will be able to pick up one of the machines that are gonna be shown this upcoming week at Expo in the next 12 months or so. I don't know if that's gonna happen. I don't know which one. I don't even know if it's gonna happen. That's the goal. You know, the goal, this is Tucson Pinball as a company is a hobby business where we have taken out $0. Every dollar goes back into repairing machines or, you know, other expenses, whether it's equipment or, you know, whatever. And with the goal of getting more machines for the location, and then we're at a point where we actually have an extra machine or two, and we can start doing some sort of a rotation to try to keep things fresh, and you know, just trying to provide a good experience for people that want to play, and you know, not keep doing the same old, and not keeping up on games and stuff like that. Like we try to keep things going, and sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle, and you know, when that happens, yeah, it's frustrating, but you know, it's not like they're being swept under the rug. We have goals, sometimes we hit them, sometimes we don't, but you know, when we have the capability to have a rotation of games, that means the games that are being more problematic more frequently can come off route, can be brought back into the working area and get attention, and it doesn't have to be like out in the field because repairing a game at the location, you're limited with tools and space and even the time that you can work on them. So just bring them back into the working area where you have control of the environment, and you know, then you get to play test them a bunch too to see if you actually did fix everything. So, anyways, yeah, so Expo's really exciting for the hobby as a whole and for us specifically because we're looking to get at least one game from this batch. So that's kind of, you know, the time is passing very slow as we lead into this because I'm just sitting here like, come on, I want to see the games. I want to see them get played. So yeah, so that's kind of about that. Let's see. Project update. So last podcast, we talked about the dirtiest word in all of pinball, and that is projects, because you never really know when you're done with them sometimes. And a lot of times it's not on you. It's, sometimes it's sitting on somebody else. And I'll give you one example. I have a Joust cabinet out in my work area, and it is painted white. And I know why cabinets are painted black. Because at some point somebody was like, white cabinets get really dirty really easy, and black cabinets don't. But I have this cabinet, it's painted white, and I recreated the artwork, and I was waiting for that artwork to get printed out. And the last podcast we talked about how I ran into a snag. And so I actually found something out last week. I was talking to somebody who is a graphic designer, and they actually know the people that I had sent this work to. And so he called him up and was just chatting with him, trying to help me out, trying to, figure out if there's anything that could be done. And the conversation they had was different than the conversation I had. And I found out that it's actually a two-step process for what they were doing. They had PDFs of my art, and they can print them, and then there's another machine. I thought it was one machine, but I guess there's either another machine or another process that will take that newly printed out art and cut the circles that I have and cut the cut lines that I designated. So in the conversation that these two people had, come to find out that they can open my PDF and they could print, but they just can't cut. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I didn't know that. And a lot of these things I can cut out myself, like the straights on the cabinet and the head artwork. Guess what? I have, long straight edges, and I have really sharp razor blades. I can cut that myself. So I called them as soon as I left that conversation with my friend and said, can you print those out for me and do two of the playfield overlays so that I can practice on one? So a couple days ago, I picked up my art. So that as soon as we finish up doing this podcast right here, that's what I'm gonna be doing. I'm gonna be putting on cabinet, well, not putting on, but I'm gonna be cutting the cabinet and head art for Joust. And I am so excited about this. I have a little bit of clear coat work that still needs to be done on the playfield before I can do the overlay. But I will be doing that this weekend. So I can't even put into words how excited I am to actually find a solution to this. And it's going to take a little bit more handwork on my part, which I'm a little nervous about because I'd much rather have a machine cutting out lines and circles than me, just because there's a reason why machines do certain things. But I'm excited. So Joust might be happening here soon too. Oh, and other projects. I put together a streaming rig for Twitch. There's several pinballers that stream on Twitch, and if you don't know what that is, it's not twitch.com, it is twitch.tv. And it started off as a streaming service. It's not even really a service. It's free to you to go there, and you can browse through tons of stuff and find people playing all sorts of either video games or there's other like craft things that I actually just found out about the other, like there was a workshop, like a wood shop, like they were making maybe cosplay stuff. And I mean, I can see it's a big world of streaming video stuff, and there's pinball streamers, and there's actually a pinball category. And so I put together the equipment to start streaming that, and I'm almost ready to start doing that. I'm down to the software side on my computer. I have it set up. There's some configuration stuff. Everybody that does it says, yeah, it's a little finicky, but once you get it going and save your configuration, it's pretty much bulletproof. So I'm very excited about that because that'll be a method that I use to play more, which means practicing more, which hopefully means getting better. That's the goal, is to get better at playing pinball. And if you guys get to watch me not play better on my way to playing better, that's the price of admission, I guess. So, And if I am yelling at you right now, I'm sorry. Because I used to use a headset with a microphone on it, and that gave an awful lot of buzz. Every time I talked, it would pick up, and it would, you know, pick up some buzz and put some buzz in there as well. So I have a new microphone. I do not have headphones, and it's kind of really weird. But the only reason why I had the headset is because I tend to, like, stand up and walk around or shift a lot. And so me sitting still in one spot and trying to do this so that you're not getting, like, blasted with, you know, when I'm right next to the microphone or if I lean back too far or whatever, you know. So anyways, equipment update, probably don't care, but yeah. So if I'm yelling, I apologize. Turn your podcast down and send me feedback and let me know. So yeah, that's kind of it. Just wanted to... I felt it was time, you know, time to do another show and, you know, get things rolling a little bit. So, anyways, yeah, if you're in Tucson, come check us out at the Tucson Convention Center, where Tucson Comic Con will be on the first weekend of November. It starts on Friday, so I think that's the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And, yeah, so we'll have three games set on free play, and we are... looking to snag many new pinheads. So that's the goal. Yeah, so Facebook page, Tucson Pinball. It's the one that you can't friend, you can like, because apparently there's a person named Tucson Pinball. You don't want that one. You want this one. you'll see us. We've got the Sugar Skull as our logo, as long as you're looking at it in October of 2016. If you're looking at this in the future, I have no idea what the logo will look like, but our logo is awesome. Thanks to the guys at Double Danger Pinball, so ddpinball.com. They make really cool shirts. They're kind of funny, and they're cool guys. So support them. And let's see, wayne@tucsonpinball.com is the email address, or you could send me a message on Facebook through the Tucson Pinball page. That's cool, too. So, yeah, that's kind of it. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys later, and party on.
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth! It's Wayne's World! Wayne's World! Party time!